Hello and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And we got a lot of emails from you on a couple different topics or subjects. I'll start with one.
Yeah.
And that email is from one of our longtime listeners, Gus the Paperboy.
Oh.
Or Paperman is probably more appropriate. He's a man.
He refers to himself as Paperboy. I think we're going to go with Paperboy.
Yeah, Gus the Paperboy running around delivering papers and listening to our radio program. And he was responding to the interview we did with a researcher named Anna Petzold, and she had looked at leptin, this hormone that for some reason is involved in both erotic desire and appetite.
Hunger regulation.
Yeah, hunger regulation. Anyway, and so he had a nice story to tell us. It starts or goes like this.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago, when I was young and handsome, after riding my loaded bicycle for 1.5 hours to get to a ferry terminal, I was desperate to eat and drink. By clever maneuvering and sharp elbows, I managed to get to the front of the queue waiting for the coffee shop to open. A little bit behind me was a woman who was open to a bit of funny verbal sparring. A couple of exchanges till the food line opened, then I grabbed a tray for my grub and bottled water and headed for the table. A few minutes later, I saw the young lady coming along looking for a place to put down her tray of goodies. I had just got back to addressing my food when she came over and joined me at the table. No eye contact till she sat down. We ended up traveling together for a week of overlapping vacation time. We had a really good trip along a tourist trail, camping as we went with my bike on the roof of her car. Marvelous vacation that week. Unfortunately, we lived at opposite ends of the country, 4,000 miles away. And letters didn't help to develop and sustain any further relationship. Things just faded away, leaving a glowing memory and a few photos behind. So food and sex on occasion do coincide, in this case, to the joy of all. And what he's referring to there is that we kind of frame this as a binary choice. You have to either choose the food or choose the flirt.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is, look, all you got to do is sit down and you can chat to him there. Yeah. Eat up. You can do both. And
that was along the lines of what people told us when we were out talking to people at that mall, the food court.
The food court.
In St. Augustine.
Yeah.
The girl and one of the boys that we spoke to said, well, get the food and then talk to the
clerk. Hey,
come on.
Yeah. So we've solved the leptin hormonal conundrum on this show.
Yeah.
So that all of you out there can possibly have more experiences like Gus the Paperboy.
My boy Gus. One of the other things that we asked was, I asked about my grass, how to get perennial ryegrass to germinate.
And such a ridiculously specific question.
Well, Jeanette had a response. Really, really good one here. Gabe, find out what is native to your area, please. She's saying don't even try rye. You know, maybe some other different grass seed is going to work better. And she says, yeah, it's going to be happier with your climate, require less watering and less fertilizer. Good luck. We'll try to find more info for you. Jeanette, we got some more info here, for instance, from Amalia, another response. She says, I'm a horticultural landscaper who listens to your program on my way to work as a gardener. I couldn't help but send you some advice on your ryegrass germination issue. She's got four tips. Bear with me here. Yeah?
Okay.
Rent an aerator.
You know what that is? Poking the holes in throughout the grass.
Yeah, you plug the spikes in and it scoops out a little bit. I've already got that. I do it by hand.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I aerated.
It's a push aerator.
I push it in and it takes out the spikes. I've got a lot of spikes in my compost.
Wow.
Spread seed once average soil temp is about 10 to 15 degrees Celsius. I waited until my grass was 12 degrees Celsius. I went out there measuring the temperature with something that you actually use to measure the temperature of meat.
Oh,
you know,
in these
meat thermometers?
Basting thermometer.
Yeah, so I did that, Amalia. Don't fertilize until you have about 2 sets of leaves per plant. I don't have anything yet. Don't mow until your new lawn is at least 6 inches tall. Nothing has germinated yet. But she says, good luck. I know that this is an odd email, but I really understand your frustration. It can be maddening when something just won't grow for you. Yeah, and I know what you're talking about there. And then we got Mark. He says, forget chemical fertilizer. He grows the greatest grass in the world.
Mark is our man in the woods. And he's got a tiny home in the forest, and he writes us almost daily.
Yeah, I love Mark. He says, grow good dirt. That's a good tip. Grow some good dirt. Well, I think what he means is, first of all, work on the soil. and then plant the grass seeds, and that'll work.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Okay, well...
thank you, Mark. Thank you, Amalia, and thank you, Jeanette.
Yeah.
And everyone else that wrote in, there were
we had lots and lots of emails. The last one I'll mention, I didn't even bring it here with me, is the final one, I guess, from James Linscott. Jim, kind of provoked a couple weeks back this whole discussion involving the show and whether we're doing it right, and can you email us? It set off an email storm, and so we'll end it here with Jim, who is, I believe, listening right now with a party of people around him. He said he was going to host a listening party, I think, in his home. So hello to all of you, and thanks for tuning in to Science Unscripted. We're happy to have you.
Maybe you guys can come visit Bonn, Germany one time and come into the studio here and listen with us.
Yeah.
Or maybe you could do the show for us, and we can critique you.
That would have interesting ramifications. Last thing I'll say, to include a little science here, some very, very light science, mm-hmm. Is a story some of you may have seen, a headline some of you may have seen, and this is the fact that a German brewery has invented beer powder.
Powder?
Beer
powdered
powder.
Beer.
Powdered beer.
So you mix it with water and then you got beer?
It's just like instant coffee, or for some of you who do protein shakes, you mix it up, whip it together, and you've got a frothy beer with a nice thick, you know, head on top that you can drink on down.
Does that follow the Reinheitsgebot, the German purity laws from 1516?
It follows the purity laws to a T. So these laws stipulate here in Germany that you can only have three ingredients in beer. Water.
Barley.
Barley. Hops. The missing fourth ingredient there would be yeast. Mm. Yeast wasn't, it was kind of happening naturally. It wasn't one of the things you put in necessarily. Yeah. And yes, it's part of the, it follows those German purity laws. Hence, it can actually be called beer. And this might seem like a novelty item. It really is. But the more you think about it, the more I thought about it and looked into it, it's just interesting. And it may be here to stay. It may be kind of a small big deal.
Does it work?
So it does work. Yeah, this is to kind of get a couple of details out of the way here. It's coming from a cloister. This is the Neuzeller Cloister. It's been around for about 500 years, and it's right. It's like southeast of Berlin, so right on the Polish border, way out in the east. And at first, I was kind of skeptical of this whole thing because they have a list of things they've created in the past, an anti-aging beer. That's a big claim. I haven't seen anyone try that. Yeah. And really, it's just a dark beer that's about €3 a bottle. Oh. And it probably makes you older, like most alcoholic beverages. They have asparagus beer. Don't know how well that one sells. And the other one that they've had out now for about 20 years is bath beer, which is, I guess, similar to the beer powder. You put it in your bathtub and then you bathe in beer and come out reeking of beer. And so I thought, okay, this sounds like a cloister with a brewery on the side. It employs 40 people. That's good at marketing and good at coming up with weird products that don't really necessarily sell.
Can we get it now? Or
I asked. I called the brewery and I said, look, I'm a science journalist. I would love to drink this beverage on the show and give kind of a taste test. And he said, we can't do it. So, really? He said, you can come here and try it out here, but we can't send it to you. And I said, okay, that's fair enough, but, you know, can I ask why? And he said, well, you're telling me you're a journalist, but what if you're just pretending to be a journalist and actually your name is Connor Paulana or Connor Bex or Connor Bitburger or Connor Warsteiner? References to all these other German brewing companies who have not come up with a powdered beer product, and maybe I could just steal the formula and bring it over to them. So they're keeping this thing under wraps.
Yeah.
It's supposed to come out in summer where you can start ordering this stuff. And basically, two packets of powder. You got the beer flavor, and then you've got the carbonation powder that you pour in there as well.
Is it alcoholic?
The first one that is coming out is non-alcoholic. Okay. The next one is alcoholic. And I was trying to figure out, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Do you have a little capsule of ethanol that you pour in there? That just feels weird. No, it's micro-encapsulation. So you mix sugars with alcoholic beverages until all of the liquid has been absorbed by sugars. And you don't need much of that because...
sugar alcohol, then.
Yeah, and if you're drinking a bottle of beer, let's say it's 330 milliliters, only 17 milliliters are ethanol anyway. So it's a small percentage. You don't need much. It's mostly water. Yeah. So a couple disadvantages, obviously... Gabe, the water at your house might be different than the water at my house. Come from a different plant, treated differently, and so it'll taste different. But otherwise, some pretty big advantages that I'd never thought of. So 90% reduction in the carbon footprint, Because what is basically the beer industry moves water.
Transportation. Yeah.
It moves glass bottles filled with water with a little bit of beer flavor and some alcohol in it.
Yeah.
All over the world. And that could have substantial impacts on reducing emissions in that industry. Also, one of the things they're talking about is if you're, I don't know, in certain places, maybe this would make sense. You're going on a hike with the buddies, a 2-day hike, mm-hmm. camping deep in the forest or something, and you don't want to lug cases of beer.
Just bring some cubes along, some packets along.
Yeah,
and a water bottle, and bam, you got it.
We get some water, filter some water straight out of the river.
Yeah,
that would actually be that would be kind of fun. Last thing I'll say is I was asking him, how do you sell it? Or where? How do you envision this? Is it in a supermarket? Is it with the, here in Germany, you've got this section kind of locked behind bars for the cigarettes. Is that where this goes? Because you don't want kids grabbing little packets of sugarized alcohol, right? And he said, well, yeah, but at the gas stations, take a look around you. And I totally forgot that. That's true. In Germany, right next to the candy bars are bottles of grain alcohol and vodka that is right at eye level with these kids. So here in Germany, at least, it's not problematic to put little packets of powdered beer right next to those two. So
yeah, well, that question that the cloister asked you is a good one. You know, what if you are, you call yourself a journalist, but what if you're just pretending? Over 15 years, I've wondered that time to time. Maybe I'm just pretending.
Oh, imposter syndrome. Yeah, I'm not sure if we've talked about that on the show, but we can get into that another time. But yeah, coming to a supermarket in Germany or probably elsewhere, they were saying actually it's more economic the further you export it, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
A new German powdered beer that's getting a lot of attention because, well, frankly, it's coming from Germany, so people expect it to be good. And it might let you drink more beer without harming the planet.
Would you guys try it? Let us know. SUDW.com.